Okay, we're ready.
Okay.
So
I call the January 16th, 2018 regular meeting of the board of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
All right, 7:01. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Mr. Gaines is out. Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Here.
All right.
Okay.
Look at, if you were to print out your board packet, this is how big it is today.
I know, 200.
So we are so, I said I'm so glad.
That's part of our sustainability efforts, right?
It is. It's just because we had to keep on putting the minutes in, which is all the playground designs, like 3 million times. So I'm so happy that we didn't have to. So is Jenny, right?
Okay.
All right, sorry.
Okay, so we're going to address the consent agenda items. A through E are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda? No?
All right.
Okay. No, then I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
One of you guys.
Do it.
One of you guys.
Second.
Okay. Is it Lisa and who? Lisa and Josh?
Yeah.
Josh.
Okay.
Lisa and Josh. We don't have to do a roll call where we just.
Do we have to do a roll call?
Yep.
Yep, we do have to do a roll call. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines is gone. Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. Matters from the public.
I can't believe. When is the last time this happened?
Even the press is here.
It's too cold.
You think it's too cold?
Yeah.
A little snowy?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, moving on to the financial report. 10 months.
10 months
fiscal year.
Fiscal year. We're on the home stretch right now. Really, they're holding true from month to month. There's nothing really new to add. Lots of good.
Detail
looks wonderful.
Rec looks
great, so that's good
news.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Any questions from the board? Anything? Pretty much on track.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, the ice skating rink and the great winter weather will boost our revenues.
Well, for the watch, you mean?
For what? Watch? I'm sorry, for what?
Well, actually, that cold snap we had was not good.
Oh,
when
what?
It gets too cold, people don't like to skate either. So, actually, like yesterday and even today are kind of ideal weather if it's not snowing, but those really, really chilly. So, we're down a little bit. I think Bobby could ascertain from that week compared to last year, but we're hoping to rebound, so we're hoping for colder weather finishing out.
Yeah, we just hope over the 3 months that it's pretty consistent. You know, the last 2 weeks it's been tough for attendance because it's been so cold. When it dips down to the negatives, people don't tend to go skating. They worry about health-wise for young children or older gentlemen or ladies might have some health issues there. So Watts Below Zero was yesterday the most well-attended. So hopefully now that the weather is going to be getting a little better, I think we'll see some good attendance. But we're just hoping that it doesn't get up into the 60s and 70s like it did last year in February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the 50s and then the sun and, yeah.
As the sun starts going higher in the skies, the days get longer, that's when it gets a lot trickier. So right now it's okay, but as we move away from December 30th to 21st, it gets harder and harder. So we'll just keep working on it like we always do.
Mm-hmm. They do a great job over there trying to extend our season. So.
Great. Okay then, moving on to staff reports.
Carol.
Business is back.
This end of the calendar year, you know, 1099. We have more employees this year than last year. Up by about 16, we had fewer independent contractors, poorly. Getting ready for the budget to get in your hands. So I don't know if you want to set the committee meeting.
Yeah, we have the finance committee of the whole set for February 6th. So that's what we sent in, save your date. We're giving you the budget tonight, right?
This week.
So we could move it up if you wanted to really start digging into that, or we can keep it on the February 6th date.
February 6th, like as in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Or we could do it the 30th. But
that would not be good for me.
Oh, the 30th is okay. So we'll keep it the 6th.
All right,
okay.
Good.
Perfect. So we'll do that. And we also originally had, we were going to do a personnel policy committee meeting after this board meeting, but Steve is gone, so we tabled that, and we'll have that also that night. Okay?
Okay.
So, Bones, can you just say what time that
was? Sure. They'll start at 7 o'clock, unless we can do it earlier.
Can we do it a little earlier?
Can we do it earlier? Because sometimes the discussion goes a little...
Honestly, it's hard.
For you, right?
I'm not on that personnel, so maybe it's not for us, but it's hard for me to get here and eat dinner.
And earlier than 7?
Could we do the personnel first?
Yeah. Well, it has to do with the budget and some things. I think he should be, if he can at all be there. Yeah.
Change it to 6:30?
It's hard for Josh to get there.
Oh.
So we'll leave at 7, just go longer.
7, okay.
Okay.
Okay, anything else from the business perspective? No? Okay. Recreation and facilities.
Well, the fitness center is open.
Woohoo.
It's going really well.
You notice? I know. Dudley's been working out. Lisa's been working out.
I'm starting tomorrow.
And you're starting tomorrow? There we go. I love it.
We have 108 members.
All right.
So that is great for a great start. I think as people drop their other memberships at other facilities, they'll start to hopefully transition over to us. We've been dealing with some of the smaller issues, listening to feedback from members. We've been dealing with some of the internet niggly issues. We think we've got that resolved. We met with Direct Fitness to see about changing out a couple pieces of equipment that might be a better fit for us. So we're getting a proposal on that from him. Just looking at all those little feedback pieces we're getting from people with the showers now working. We did have a hot water heater go out, I think the first weekend, so that was resolved. So of course that was an older piece that was here from the before we built the center. So that's been changed. A lot of positive feedback. A lot of people really like what we've done, feel like it's a community fitness center. So we'll hopefully keep gaining members. We've had a lot of residents who said that they hadn't been to the Take-Up Center before, or they haven't been here since their kids finished with their programs. So it's really great to see some new residents and returning residents come back to the center.
Bobby, the thing that I had the most anxiety about when we were looking at that was whether there would be backups around the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody seen any evidence of that or lack thereof?
No, we haven't had any positive or negative comments really about the use of bathrooms. People are using them for sure. I think the issue with the hot water heater was the only thing we heard negatively. The times at which people are using the center are probably not what we had expected. The evening times are a lot slower than we thought. We're getting various times during the day where you'll get 4 or 5 people in there, and then times you'd expect, there's not a lot of people. So as our membership grows, I think that would change. We are having a lot of people on the weekends, more than we thought. So it'll be interesting to kind of follow the trends of when people are using it. But in terms of the bathrooms, people seem very happy, or they haven't really had the opportunity to use them yet.
I love them, personally.
Just follow up. So, for example, you're implying, or you were implying that, like, maybe we expected to have a bunch of people in before work at weekday, but that's not how it works.
I wouldn't say that. We've had some mornings where we have 5 people at the door right when we open,
right.
And then we've had some times where it's been a little less with the cold snap, so I think it's still too early to tell. I think as people drop those memberships and people get back from vacation, I think we'll see those habits develop. So people, I think, will use it, they just haven't really, we've been open for 2 weeks. So
yeah.
It's gonna be, I think in another 6 to 8 weeks, we'll have a better understanding of where those trends are, when we need staff there, when we need to cut back a little bit. So it's just gonna be interesting to see as that membership grows.
And the varied times of usage, which is great. We see it, people were using it at 9, noon, 2 o'clock. I think the really interesting thing is we have a lot of people coming into the center who said they've never been here, like you said. So our members right now are becoming more 50 and up. But I think that's going to change also as preschool's back in session now, Children's Circle's back in session. You know, parents are starting to get their kids all in their routine, and now they're going to come look at it. So they'll change. It's just so early, but the very positive feedback. I've used a shower probably the most, and it was a great experience, and there's never been a wait.
Used to require mainly cleaning.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yep. And towels are accumulated.
Towels.
So no waits, yeah. So
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're very happy with that. And Trek Fitness is.
Had a hot water problem.
Yeah, we did. Between me and Lisa, right? I said the same thing. I'm like, oh, I'm aware of that. I made them know. Yeah, so that's overall, I think the staff, the new staff we've hired are wonderful. They're doing a great job. So
yeah, the only comment I would have, I think a heaviest user is Andre, who's been coming twice a day.
Without a doubt. Every time I'm in there, he's in there. Yeah, yeah. Without a doubt, he likes it. I'd also like to bring up that, Bobby didn't mention this, but Bobby and Liz have been doing a phenomenal job enhancing and increasing our arts program for adults. So we have a lot more, not ceramics has always been our forte, but we have new painting instructors, new, that are coming from different areas and want to teach here. So we've actually, we are transitioning room two up here into more like the art studio because there's a lot more natural light and things. So do you want to speak on that? Just
yeah.
Get a little brief overview.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got new botanical drawings. We have that watercolor, we have mosaics. We've got some artists coming in to run some programs. What's great is they have a following. So before, when we were having two or three residents sign up, we were canceling classes. Now they're just adding to the class. We're able to run classes, and we 45 enrollees so far in the program. So we have 6 and 7 in most of the classes, which will only gain traction as people have positive experience. So we really see that as an area of growth. And additionally, with the new over 50 group that's joined the fitness center, they're starting to look at other programming. So it's a natural fit for ceramics and for fine arts and for our fitness center. So we see that as an area of definite growth and popularity.
Been really good.
Are most of the people that join the fitness center residents?
I don't know the exact number, but the majority are live very close. We're seeing a lot of people from the neighborhood just north of us. That are coming over. A lot of people who are in Winnetka Community House have transitioned over.
Yeah. How about Highland Park?
I don't know the exact demographics of where people are coming from, but I know the majority of people I've talked to are residents.
And we'll give you that report more in detail as we're open. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, I am too, so we'll look at that.
Because we're really close to Highland Park, whereas their community center is pretty far. Mm-hmm. So
yes, I'm a resident. I'm well aware of that. I was telling Lisa that the other
day. We were talking about that the other day. Yeah. The market that most of the people in that neighborhood by Highland Park actually come to our community center because it's closer.
Yeah.
So not resident
and
rates.
Special
so.
Events too.
Yeah, special events. We see that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Speaking of special events, we had Watts below zero yesterday and perfect weather. I think probably in the 5 years we've done it, this is probably the best weather we've ever had. Perfect day, great activities. It's really a team effort. So, you know, Bobby and his team and Chris's team and pulled it off. It was phenomenal numbers and people there. I know Dudley was there and other people. So good job on that.
Great, yeah.
Thanks.
Anything else? Okay.
So parks and maintenance?
Time of the year we're talking about snow. We've had a lot of snow so far. It's been a harder year on some of the equipment, but the guys have really done a great job in prioritizing. And now that we have a kind of a group of 4 or 5 diehards who are here at 5:30 in the morning from the fitness center, I think it's nice for them to have some smiling faces here when they're plowing instead of just in the dark by themselves. So it's been a good year so far with the snow, but you know, they're just staying on task with that. We're also using really any of the cold weather to do work in the community center. We've continued to change out hallways and rooms to LED lights. We've been doing a lot of painting, so staying really busy with the weather coming on us outside.
I have to say that Chris and his guys, the snow we had the other day, I was here at 6:30. I got here at 6:30. The lots are plowed. The sidewalks were done. It was amazing. If you looked at any place else in the village, it wasn't to that complete. So it was great. I was just amazed at how far along they were at that time. So kudos
Chris,
to them.
If you guys ever finish early, I'll give you my home address.
He's kidding.
I'm kidding. For the record, I'm kidding.
Chris, we don't contract out any of the plowing and the snow removal?
Not
at all. Okay, great. Okay. Any other questions from the board? No? Okay.
I actually have a question.
Oh.
Anything we're talking about, can we make some kind of rule that nobody can bring in helium balloons?
I know.
Why do you guys ever get those down?
I was thinking that the other day.
Well, one of two things. So they usually come down on their own.
Oh.
But typically before a board meeting, they bring the lift in here and get them down. So someone must have been sick today. we have a lift. With this room getting the kind of use that it gets, regularly we have to replace light bulbs on the chandeliers because they just get knocked and go off. So they usually get, we have a lift and there's a stick with a nail on it and you just... they add up.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah. So burnout light bulbs are a big pet peeve of mine, so usually they go through and do all the light bulbs before the committee and board meetings.
Before you come in here?
Before that's I come in here, they'll know about when I'm in here. But usually they get picked up before the meetings.
Thank you.
Sure.
Aaron.
You're right.
Aaron, do you have anything to add?
I do not. Everything's in my report.
I have to commend Aaron because she did the whole marketing plan for the fitness center and all the signage and the rug in front of it as you walk in. And actually, hopefully you've been around, take up enough to notice all the door wraps and signage in the hallways and things like that. So
we are adding another one.
And we're going to add another one in the
Children's Circle
wing. So that's a really innovative way to draw attention to it. So kudos to Aaron on that. So those little things that you don't really notice, you take for granted, that really bring people in and take special notice. I know it's a lot easier to get to the rooms than it used to be for the front desk. So.
Okay, great. Okay, safety and wellness.
Chris, Carol, anything to add? Is there the cheer?
They had the minutes.
Later on this month, we kick off this is our year to get reviewed by Fitterman. So every 3 years, we got an exemption to go 4 years, but we'll go through that process. It's pretty extensive. And every aspect of the park district operations.
It's like a total audit.
Yeah. Kickoff is January, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So that's very labor intensive for really Chris and Carol. So.
Yeah, it's a process, but Carol mentioned that we got an extension. That's not typical. We got an extension because we scored so well the previous time. So that in itself is something to pat yourself on the back when we're getting an extension on that.
Mm-hmm. Any board comments, safety and wellness?
No, they just you mentioned two open claims in your report. Is there anything we should be aware of? It's not controversial.
No, not controversial. One of them was a bus backed into one of the light bollards out here. I don't know. I can't think what the other claim is.
Was it our bus?
No.
The other one was we were waiting on the claim for the van.
The van, yes.
The person got caught, so we got our deductible. It's $1,000 deductible, and that's just been closed out in the last week. So
somebody hit our van. Mm-hmm. Didn't leave their information. Mm-hmm. So we got the van repaired. Highland Park Police were able to track
it
down. Take care of that for us.
And it was an insured person?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Tell ya.
Okay. Then moving on to the executive director's report.
All right. I'm very proud to announce that we won the Exceptional Workplace Award. And we'll be awarded that at the IPRA IAPD conference on Friday at 5 p.m. at the IPRA business meeting. So kudos, I think, Erin and Jenny. It's actually during the IAPRA business meeting, so that's at 5 o'clock on Friday, so not during the awards luncheon.
Okay. Are board members invited?
No, you don't.
Or
I mean,
or?
Not expected, no. It's usually the professional, but you're more than welcome to come if you want. But they just hit the plaque. And
congratulations.
So we'll bring back. Thank you. And thanks to Jenny and Erin for doing the application and all the work that goes with that. We talked about Glencoe Fitness already. Got to community meeting dates. We sent them all to you. There's, for the most part, they're on the first Tuesday of the month. If there's a conflict, you might have gotten the second one, and if you accepted that, then we'll go ahead with that one. New community newsletter, we're working on that. Erin is our... What? Oh, went out. You're right. It already went out.
Yeah.
So that's already out, and Erin works. What I was going to say is Erin works on that and submits articles. So if there's anything you would like to see submitted, or any questions people are asking, just send those topics to us, and we can put them in that magazine when they're in our section of it.
The schedule's changed a little bit with the new newsletter. It's going to be January, April, and then think in August or September, I can't remember exactly. So it shifted a little bit. Have you heard anything about the new format or title?
I received it and read it.
Yeah.
The feedback I got.
Inside Glencoe. It's no longer Glencoe Corliss.
Yeah.
Yeah, the feedback I got is it's more like what Glencoe is, a more professional presentation, nice photography on the front, just better all the way around.
Yeah, we were focusing a lot on making it very visual and easy to read.
Good. Nice job.
Great.
The Active Transform Committee, I just put some information there. We have a meeting coming up. The Tudor Court tune-up, as you're aware, there's a committee that's working on revitalizing Tudor Court. So I believe there's going to be a meeting this Thursday at the Village Hall, just giving the Village Board update on the committee. Just to give you an update, just a brief update, how it affects the Park District, it looks like they are recommending eliminating that road that goes on the back side of Writers Theater, so between our park, one side of traditionally known as Women's Library Club, that's not an official name, and the other side that's closer to Green Bay, they're going to dead end that road and then turn that property back over to the Park District. It's actually, we gave them easement for that road. It would turn back to us, and so that whole parcel would then connect and we would have a bigger park and eventually probably come back to the Park District Board to see what we want to do with that. I indicated that the Park District welcomes, we always welcome putting things back to, it's a parkland, and that if we should want to develop, probably look for a donation to do that, to kind of plant those seeds. The group is looking more for their desires would be more of a passive park. So we'll probably work with Women's Library Club, Writers Theater, the Village, have a committee that the Park District would run. So they would recommend that turnover, and then it would come back to the Park District to then develop that piece of property.
Would this be something we would do in conjunction with Writers Theater?
We would actually, yes, bring that, yes, because it's... Yes, they have, and in the past they have inquired if we would be willing to work with them on that little piece, so even bigger would really be advantageous for them. So yes.
Spillover,
yes, and the shopping and everything like that. So other things, they did eliminate any talk about putting additional parking on the other side of Friends Park on Vernon Avenue. They said they reserved the right to revisit that, but it wouldn't be part of Tudor Court. So for now, I voiced my objection to putting any parking on that side of the park. So if it ever comes up again, we'll talk about it then. But other than that, they're looking at changing the way parking is done, some things with the alleyway between where the bank is, lighting that up, making it bigger, so things like that. So eventually, I'll ask them to come do a presentation here, or you can go Thursday night if you'd like to get an update now. So, and then they might throw it back to the committee to work on more things, and I'll keep you abreast as that goes along. As you know, I brought up last year the Distinguished Accreditation Program. It's a two-year process. I'm through, like, there's five categories. I'm about through two and a half of them, so we'll continue on working on that. We have a mentor. They've looked at two of our, if you've ever been in my office, those black file boxes, that's what that is. So we continue to plug away on that. So a little delayed with the changing of staff, but now... we're back working at it, as they know, because they hate on Fridays when they get all my emails asking for information. See if there's anything else. Oh, then monthly reports. I put down a list of the, we're going to continue the monthly reports and put down a list of what we're recommending to do following this upcoming year, and want to know if you have any feedback. Is there any, left a couple of them open to see if there's any reports you would like to have again or a different kind of report. We can add that to one of the monthly meetings. So next month we'll do an ADA presentation with John McGovern, who did our ADA transition plan, so you understand that. At a different committee meeting, we'll do the facility assessment. So we'll do that at a committee meeting. So these are just some of the other reports. Mm-hmm. Anything?
Is that ADA report, is he going to be here?
Yes, he'll be here to present.
And will he be able to give us a... succinct overview of sort of what we need to do to be ADA compliant.
Yeah.
I think one of the, I know as I've listened to some of the presentations about parks as we've had to revamp them, is it's not clear to me as a lay person sort of what you have to do and what's sort of nice to have.
Yes, he'll give all that information. Yep. He gave us a big report. It's like actually two big binders, so he'll shorten it, but he'll give some of those overviews.
The only comment would be that October seems a little late for each report.
We actually don't close the beach until what's
the 15th of October this
year.
Oh. So the boathouse stays open until mid-October.
So that's why we keep.
I know in my mind, I'm thinking like August.
Yeah, no, it goes until October. That's why. And I think that's traditionally when we do it. All right.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything on
the
website.
Do you want some feedback on the legislative briefing that's coming up? Who might be interested in it?
Oh, yeah. We have a legislative breakfast. Yeah. So just let me know if you'd like to go, and I'll RSVP for you. Okay, Dudley. Okay. All right. That's it.
Anything else before the action items?
Nope, not in.
So we don't have a presentation other than our parks. Okay.
Exactly.
All ready to talk about Old Elm?
Okay. So how much detail do you want? Do you want to go pull up the revamped design?
Absolutely.
We were prepared to kind of give an overview of each of the slides, but since we just did it last week, it seems like, and we have no one in the audience. We're just going to give a brief overview. So at the last meeting, we heard from the neighbors of Old Elm Park. Thank you.
The new plan, please.
The neighbors indicated that they would like some more
open space.
So to ask if we could look at. Go back. There you go. Okay, so there it is. So the swing set, so they actually just changed the layout. Okay, don't touch. Oh, really?
He's not.
Oh, wow. What's happening?
I have no idea.
Okay. Okay, look fast before it changes. They changed it, did the layout, which means that they had to go more into the brush area. They condensed the sidewalks a little bit, the mulch area, in order to get a little bit more open space. So we also are recommending, staff is recommending not doing the woodland area because based on Alta News and our perception is that they didn't really want that area touched. And if they want to go into that wooded area and play, I mean, we encourage that as natural play either. So why spend $20,000 if they don't really want it and the kids want to go back there and play the way they always have? So this is the design we're recommending. Or if the board decides that they wanted to keep that little pod area from the last one, you could choose between those two. So what direction would you like staff to continue
that,
on?
That finger that you had going up to the north last time, I thought that was a future potential.
It could be a future. We could fit it in as an alternative and probably be just a little. We're a little under budget now, so we could put that in, but not to the extent that they drew it in. So that's why we're recommending just leaving it the way it is now.
It seemed like I don't want to speak for the other board members, but it seemed like the feedback from the residents was they prefer to leave it.
Yeah, that's what we heard loud and clear too. So
that was my vote. What they wanted, seems like a lot of people showed up. Makes sense,
and
they get a lot of
things
for their
buck
in this park.
This
is going to be a great park. I'm really happy with all the pieces, and I think it's
going to
look nice.
And I think they'll be really thrilled with the feedback
that
was taken seriously.
I think they do. I'm surprised they're not here. So, yeah.
This also preserves those memorial trees that we have so important to set up in the
world. So, particularly this. This one here, that's the memorial tree, and then this small one right here, I believe. So this one, there's only one plaque out there, but they talked about two trees, so we challenged Ultima New not to take out any major trees in the project, so this is based on a survey, so what you see is actual.
know they had that small area before with the small pebbles. Are those still in there?
No. That was the gathering area that was on the mound.
Right here.
That was the area to the north that we needed to put the swing set.
So wasn't there another area that was a smaller one that had the smaller?
No.
No. I think that was
not that big thing.
The original concept, when we looked at it at first meeting, we had a larger layout, and those were some of the items that we had to evaluate engineers to get the more intricate playground equipment that we have now.
Okay. Are there any benches?
Yes.
Yes. And a tricky fountain.
At least three. So here, and then I think there's one over here. So, and then the bike racks as well, and then you found garbage cans. So.
An open space.
Show us where the open space is. Is it kind of under the tree?
It's under the tree in that
under
area. Can you circle around where the open space is?
This would be the area here that residents talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you would classify that as a soccer field, but it's open space. Regulation. We're saying you fit a cricket field in there. Maybe.
So that's a multi-purpose space then?
Yes.
Turfed.
Well, yes, it will keep
you know, it looks a lot bigger here than it actually is. It's probably only the size of the seating area here.
So they can kick a soccer ball back and forth, basically.
There's a lot more mature trees there, so with the canopy coverage, it may feel like a smaller space. But square footage-wise, it's probably very similar to what we have there. Which is not large. I mean, you know.
They have a place to have a picnic if they want. People can gather there. They kick soccer ball.
It's too cold out there, and smaller kids might be able to play sports or tag or whatever. You're not going to have to work with this, you know, youth game out there. And, you know, they're only 2 blocks from Jacob, so.
Yeah.
All right, so this playground is, if it comes in, we're suspecting will be a little under budget. So it's not a bad thing. All right.
Any other questions? No? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the Old Elm Park Playground Conceptual Design Plan as amended.
So moved.
Moved? Okay. Who's moved? Warren? Second? Okay.
Discussion?
All right, discussion.
Roll call.
Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
All right. Okay, now we're going to Vernon and Jefferson. Where did you guys go? Yeah, sorry.
Oh, Lord.
It's also in your book. Okay. Okay, it's thinking. As you recall, we didn't have a lot of feedback in the committee meeting. We changed it, but after the meeting, got some feedback. So we're recommending a couple changes to this playground, just minimal, that may just impact the budget slightly. Wait until you get here.
All right, so you remember what it looked like before?
Yeah. Okay.
This was the first concept.
Yep.
This is where we're at now.
So what we're going to recommend on this one is that on the main piece, is put a rotating disc that kids can hang off the side. We don't exactly know where yet, but the architect says that we can do it. Nope. If you pull up one of the other slides, Chris, I have the picture of what that little hangy thing is. There you go.
It's just a transition, so this is something hangy.
A rotating hangy thing that kids can spin around with, so it gives a little bit more movement on that one. And then, you want to go to the...
Those pieces could easily be accommodated somewhere here, on the other side, here, so it could just be bolted onto the existing structure as a prefab piece.
So it won't add much cost to it.
Cost to the project, so.
So they'll give a little more of that. And then we talked about the toddler area, and, you know, we actually met with Altamanu on the parking lot today, and we were talking about this, and we know this is very, I guess, underwhelming toddler area. And you also have to look at it from a two-year-old's perspective. But with this, we did put more of the money into the main piece and less into the toddler area. So this park right now is at budget. So what we could do is for this area, we could ask Altamanu to find another piece and put it as alternate, and then possibly put it in if we make budget. We're also under budget Old Elm, so we could use some of that funds to put it in this area if you'd like, to add a little more pizzazz. What that piece is, we don't know yet, but they will put it, we could put it as alternate, so.
So it would be the same square footage play area?
Yep.
So if you see the picture, you know, it would be another swapped out piece, so we wouldn't really be designing like a second playground within a playground.
Yeah.
We would be challenging them to fit it in the same space and then see how tight our bid numbers came back and we can make our decision from there.
That'd be great, because when you look at the square footage, this park is actually bigger and there's more design here, but not as much equipment. So it seems a little unequal from the first park, which has a ton of equipment, and we don't want the toddlers to get shortchanged, and we don't want to go back later and do it. We want it to be right the first time, so I think that would be a great investment. And plus, so much money goes to the water fountain here, so again, looking at the square footage, I think it's, you know, a lot of this goes to green space and to the design, which is great. You want it to be beautiful too, but you want to get, make sure there's enough equipment in there.
All right. The main piece of equipment is more expensive because it does have that netting feature, so there's a lot more to it. It's a newer piece, so it equal-wise, but for the toddler area, yeah. So we can look at that and add that to it.
It's very dependent upon the age of the equipment.
Of when it was designed and developed and when it's put out, yes, yes. The newer equipment are...
Just as marked up.
Yes. It comes down, yes.
So like on the playground manufacturer website, that piece and the bigger piece at particularly Crescent have the same price range.
Elm Park.
I don't know why I didn't want to check it because it's quite a little bit.
Yeah.
So is it that range?
It has to do with the range but also installation of it. So
like the square footage of the curbing and the drainage necessary in Old Elm might be different than here. You know, it's not typically the installation factor, you know, you times whatever you cost the equipment by about 40% additional for installation. But, you know, it's not always apples to apples just because the manufacturer says it's a certain price. You know, that may be a certain configuration. It's like when you watch a car commercial and they show you the most expensive car and give you the least expensive car's price. And, you know, your experience may differ significantly in tiny little print down at the bottom. So it's not always apples to apples, so it can really have a lot to do with the site conditions, how the site drains, all that type of, you know, stuff that civil engineers can get really excited about.
Maybe I was just in Elm has, you know, there's a lot of different levels and it's not just climb up and go down. So I think that's kind of, and I don't know how much you got after the committee meeting if they were similar, but it would just be nice to get that other functionality that they said in there so that it's not just climbing up the walls and sliding down, but there's more for them to do by adding, you know.
In the toddler area? Yeah.
This is the one that happens.
Oh, we're only suggesting adding that rotating disc on the main one, so.
This
to stay within budget.
Two potential changes. One that's definitive, which is affordable, which is the spinning disc on the 5-12.
Yep.
The second is looking at increasing our budget ever so slightly because of some additional money that's being made available.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at, without changing the footprint of the toddler area, adding some other functionally beneficial piece.
Correct.
Well, it may not even mean a cost increase. I mean, we look at these estimates and we ask them to be very conservative with their estimates. Okay. We may come back and be, I typically found them to be under estimates in my own experience, but that's not always the case. So, you know, you always want to have a very conservative estimate so you don't get yourself in the trouble.
But it could be over, so we're gonna be conservative and say it may be a little bit over in order to get that, just to make sure that you're aware of that, if it does come back. Yeah. They did not want one.
That just is seconds the reason to look at the top thing here.
Right. Right.
There's not a whole lot to do there after you've gone up and gone down.
There's more play that it's hard to see on these big pieces. For the toddler area, you're right. There's not a lot to do in there.
Yeah.
So I agree. We both said it's very underwhelming. So if we have more money to spend on that, that's great. So that's good direction.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's little boulders in there too, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Which has a lot of play potential.
This is kind of a landmark park, so the additional landscape that we're doing is
Yeah, I meant to bring the picture of the old one. If you saw it on our, if it's in our master plan, those are very underwhelming. Oh, do we have it in there? Very underwhelming. Well, it was when that was before the equipment they took. But we don't have the equipment in there, so this is it needed a lot of work. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Are we ready to move?
Yeah. Quick question for Chris.
Okay.
The I'll call it the broken pebble pathway. Does that create any ADA issues?
No, it's concrete. It's just a different.
It's sculpted concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And again, we view that as a play feature also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jump from one to another.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well then I'll entertain a motion to approve the Vernon and Jefferson Park Playground conceptual designs with the alternates for the, what do we call it? The
rotating
young children playground or play area?
2 to 5 play area.
Okay.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines? Oh, he's not here. Duh. Been here all night. Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Going to put it through the whole thing.
Moving on to Woodlawn.
All right, Woodlawn. Wait till he gets there. All right. As you recall, at this one that we value engineered this concept down so that we could fit it within budget. The neighbor, I think there's one or two neighbors that came to the meeting, really liked the design. The biggest features here are we're looking for movement. What were some of the other things? Hold on 1 second. Transitioning. Hold on. Idea of movement, idea of exploring different heights. So the wow factor of this one is those zip lines, which are those will be our biggest zip lines in the district. So that's when you talk about we want people to experience different things at different parks, that is one of them. Our swing sets and this beautiful piece that all ages can transition through and have a great experience as they grow up. So they can transition from the one side as a toddler, and as they get older and more experienced, they can keep on transitioning throughout the play pieces. So Chris, do you want to anything to add on this one?
Kind of as a refresher as to what we talked about, we have the Zeta swing, we have the protected space here with the wood decking to preserve the existing trees. We won't be throwing backhoe in out there and cutting up tree roots. Lisa mentioned the zip line. We have the playground structure itself, which is very neat. As we discussed last time, the zip lines you can see here, we had a few standalone pieces that we saw, the topsy-turvy, or witches hat, as some call it. We have the playground itself. We did talk about sourcing something that was a little bit more interesting and transparent for this area, which is a very simple, you know, apples-to-apples change, so we don't expect any budget impact with that. Just as we go through, we look at the different slides, the transition pieces, the fire poles, the climbers. It's just a very active structure. You can climb up here, climb from one deck to the next. It's a very unique components all brought together. While some of the stuff does exist elsewhere in inventory, it is very tried and true. We feel that this is and sustain a lot of heavy use based on our experiences at other parks. So lots of different amenities. What's very interesting about this equipment, and of course I don't do justice because I don't have the accent like down there. I can't use some of those words that I experienced most practicing before even sitting here. But the interesting parts about this particular structure are the ability to transition from one end into the other. So you have, you know, smaller equipment on this end, and as kids feel more comfortable, they move to taller and taller equipment. And you can actually make the whole park into a circuit, where a participant or a child could actually go from one end to the other.
You guys are moving enough.
That's our automated building system right there. It knows we're not in here and it wants to turn the lights off on us. So you transition from one end to the other and come down the zip and run all the way back around. So that's a huge part of all the use plan, is that circuit, that ability to run all the way around the playground and for movement to be part of it with that. Lisa, do you want to
talk
about the feedback we got?
Yep. So if you remember from the going back to committee meetings, they talked a lot about movement. We did have to value engineer this original playground from the first meeting, not only in that long structure, but some of the other features to get it down to the $500,000 mark, believe it or not. So some of the other feedback we had was the two pieces, the witch's hat and the and the teeter totter. You know, some people have had experience with the teeter totter making a lot of noise. Personally, we think that's maybe an installation issue. If we had that issue with this piece of equipment, we would actually just have the playground manufacturer come out and give us a new piece of equipment. But this is this is more for the younger kids. That's what it's designed for. So while it may not look very exciting, it doesn't go very high like the traditional teeter-totters. Put your mind frame in the 2 to 5-year-old category. The witch's hat, which is hard about this one is that you look at it and you're like, you go back to your childhood, and all of us were on those merry-go-rounds where we could really get up speed. You can't, nor can you get up speed on any of the
rotating
equipment anymore because of codes that they have.
It actually slowed them down.
Yeah.
You can see it at West, though, you could put the back wheel of the dirt bike up against that merry-go-round, and it's only going to go the speed that it's meant to go. So typically the rotational speed is a Consumer Product Safety Commission notated item. So, you know, when you see spinning toys, they're all usually within the same, a freestanding one like this. You can get going a little faster on some of the corkscrew stuff like we added at Bergen and Jefferson.
Yeah. So we did ask the architects to price out some similar cost equipment. We don't have those now, but those are something that we could transition out for other pieces at a later date. It doesn't affect the design right now. We did have one. I think I have it on the computer. There you go.
I don't think it's here.
Yeah, it is. I put it there. It's in a folder.
Do you have the stick in here?
There, it's right here. Oh,
you have to go.
I loaded them on.
Okay.
You loaded them on here?
Seesaw and spider thing that you just showed us first, are those currently in the plan?
The seesaw and the witch's hat?
Yeah.
Yes. So we could transition out to this piece. To this piece. Now this piece is only if the two pieces together I just showed you without insulation cost $13,500.
They can accommodate about 12 kids at one time if they're totally used. This one we could put in. This is a newer piece of equipment. Just came out this year. This piece alone costs $11,904 without insulation.
Now it spins around, is that?
Yes. Bounces and spins, yes. Mm-hmm. Which it's really cool, but it's really neat piece of equipment. We don't know how it holds up in longevity because it is new. It's probably priced higher because it's new, but it's great. So we could take out those other two and just put this one in and still stay on budget. So we could easily do that.
Well, it could be a longer thread on, like, why are you...
I'm just saying.
Have you received feedback that the two pieces you showed us first are under welded?
Yeah. There's the commissioner who says that she doesn't know if that would be really attractive for that site. And that's just one opinion.
And
so,
I don't think it's under welded. It's just that you go to wire park, it makes a lot of noise. And so I didn't know if that was a manufacturer issue or what it was, but it's like a horrible, it doesn't go that high. I mean, like I said, it's just one opinion, just my complaint. And it's not that there's no playback on it. That was just a concern that if we did already in that park's new, are we going to have an issue?
But the idea might be, you know, if it's decided by folks that the seesaw, teeter totter piece stays, and then the other one gets replaced.
The switch's hat.
Slightly more interesting spinning that has a little more excitement to it, because we've seen that witch's hat kind of be kind of like,
Right.
I've seen kids play on it. And there might be a little play in the budget that we might be able
like, it would probably go, it'd go over budget about 7,000 if we did that one.
5 to 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 5 to 7, yeah.
Okay. Does the budget include the grasses that are shown in brown, or is that going to be long?
It includes some. It doesn't include the first scope that we showed. In discussing it with Altman New, that's something we felt that the park district staff would be able to execute,
yeah,
in the sense that there's not a lot of burrowing, there's not a lot of fine grading, and so I asked Altman New to put the cost of the material in with factoring in the park district's labor outside the project. So I don't think we're going to have the, you know, acre and a half that we initially estimated, but I think we are going to have some type of grasses in there as far as forming a barrier here, noise and visual and whatnot. So that's kind of still TBD. We have a pin in that, where that's going to go.
You know, because I walk by this every day, I know I've mentioned this before, but I'm sensitive to how many kids are here, right? So I'm not going to go over the sidewalk again, at least not now. But there aren't a ton of kids here. And I recognize that when it's a new park, there may be more. But I'm also thinking about, geez, this is substantially more money than those other playgrounds, right? Are we sort of overdoing it, I guess what I'm saying? Maybe we need a little less, or maybe we don't need the wood boardwalk. I don't want to spend $500,000 just because we have $500,000. I want to build a park that's appropriate for the neighborhood and the number of kids that are actually going to use this park.
I totally hear you, and I think that's where I started and went back and forth on this a lot. And it's hard because when you see it, you know it's going to be a destination playground, and I do still believe that it's going to be a destination playground, but I hear you, and I think we've all gone back and forth with that number a lot. It helped me too, last week I looked at what we count in the community historically as a pocket park and what we haven't, and this isn't counted as a pocket park. So justifiably, it makes me feel better about the fact that it's more money.
That's correct.
But I totally
agree. Well, reasonable people can disagree about it. I hear what you're saying as well. I think what I'm asking staff to do is say, you know, okay, here's a $500,000 design. What's a $400,000 design?
But if we would do that, we would have to hire the designers to come up with a whole new design. And I think my guess is we're a little too far down the pipe. I mean, I personally think this looks good. I like the design. I think it's difficult to trace the future on the past. I mean, you certainly had observations. I drive by it all the time. I frequently see kids there. I can say that Friends Park is the only park in Glencoe that is really, really busy. It's just because it's great 500 people. So maybe if we made a park that was really exciting, more kids would go. That's my sense. I'm also hoping that South School spill over, there'll be a South School transfer of after school kids heading over this park. That's what I hope.
Okay, now I'm not clear about the alternatives.
Okay,
the discussion
around that? Okay.
Yeah.
So right here, we could, if the board wanted us to, this or this, we could take those off entirely. We could keep this one and then replace this one with that tri-spinner that we just saw. It's a fun design. There was talk about this area here, possibly putting a tire swing. That would put us over budget again. Tire swings or large loop swings, which are great, that's something we want to put at Lincoln and Crescent, cost about another $8,000. These swings are only $2,500, plus the maintenance of tire swings are about five times as much or three times as much. Not to mention, you know, we're talking about the new, a lot of people like to have their kids in a different section swinging without without the big kids around. So we recommend keeping that. Staff doesn't, architects. There's concern about parents wanting their kids to be toddlers next to the belt swings. We're recommending just keeping them like this for now, but if we get demand, these are easily switched out to buckets, so we can easily do that. Some of those, what are you thinking? We have those belt swings, or those bucket swings on hand, so we can easily insert those. And we can still have this area. So say there's older kids playing in this area.
What? It's the same infrastructure.
Same infrastructure.
A $200 item that we have in stock is like regular.
Right.
So we, you know, if we so desire, we can put 8 bucket swings out there in the future or not.
Yeah. And then if there's younger kids and there's older kids on the zip line. There was also talk about in the original, the first design going back 2 meetings ago, there was this netting piece. Oh, there you go, that one.
Yeah.
This piece right here. They did have this in the original design, so take a look at this. Okay, can you bring me back? The other piece, other is the big one. They had this in the original design that we had a value engineer out. It was put right here. And that piece alone is $50,000. So that's why we value it. I think it's a really cool piece that's new. We feel that piece is a standalone piece. We've actually put that in one of our pocket parks with a couple swings and a sand box, and that would be a playground. We can't simply just take this section out, because taking this section out would only save us $20,000, so we would still be $30,000-$40,000 over budget. So we're not recommending, while we like that piece a lot, we're not recommending it in this playground, but reserving it for a different neighborhood park later. And then again, we have something new and a destination going there. So our recommendation is either decide to leave these as is, or take this one out and put that tri-spinner, knowing it'll be maybe $5,000 or $7,000, which we're saving at Old Elm. So should keep us in the same ballpark of our overall budget for the 3 playgrounds. Questions?
Well, if someone else could go to Dwyer and just look at those 2 pieces, just so you see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we've been there before. We actually went to it.
So you agree that wish hat doesn't really.
Yeah, I mean, I'm.
Because I don't want to tell you guys I really feel like that one is.
You know, I think that there is a more flashy, more expensive version of every single playground in Bolton. So there's the $4,000, $5,000 version, and then there's the $15,000 version. And I think we have to decide what's the most important thing for us, because we can pick the most expensive piece of equipment for every piece of equipment if we so desire. But and for the play value of it, you know, that's what Lisa said.
Yeah.
You know, is it worth the additional $7,000? You know, to have that piece of equipment over the other equipment. I mean, you know, $500,000 is a lot of money when it comes to a playground, but it doesn't necessarily go as far as you think. Which is the hardest part when you do this is you start having to really make hard decisions over $4,000, $6,000, and $8,000.
This would probably only appeal to younger kids, the 2 to 5, because it doesn't go fast, because the platform is small. And same with this. I mean, you have a parent sitting there and small kids. Would probably appeal to it more, and where the tri-spinner probably would appeal to probably the more the 5 to 8 year olds,
and
which is kind of cool.
4 year olds.
So
the 4 year old.
We saw that. We did see that one, that tri-spinner at NRPA, but you have to remember it was up higher.
Yeah.
So as Chris said, it's made for adults to sit on, so it's going to be lower to the ground, so it won't be as much fun.
Well, somebody's, you know, 6'4" parent riding on a good one, but
there's a chance that we wonder what the life will be because we don't know. But that's with anything. Except for this, this is all quite a true.
But daytime, you still like it.
Yes, absolutely.
We do. Okay. We're not thinking about doing multiple pieces of equipment, but one piece we can live with. So
it's not coming from overseas.
Yeah.
So not like we would have to be. It's made in the United States,
yeah.
So I mean, every piece of equipment has warranties. So you know, we're gonna have 5 to 10 years problem free based on our warranties on every piece of equipment.
And I get that one big piece is not gonna work. It's not financially gonna work here. But you did say that they would still look at the pieces that are in the big piece and try and be a little bit more innovative.
The panels.
Well, in general, just you know.
Yeah, the panels, the what really saw the little holes, they definitely they said that at the meeting, that those aren't the panels they want to put in. That's just what was stock and they sent to them. So we're going to look at other panels to put in that are more, a little more exciting for that.
And is there some that in
the same cost? Pardon?
Is there some that in
that
I don't remember?
There is. There's a little bit section of it.
It's like a carbon lift that you climb up and over.
Well, even they maybe look too, like there's a cool like tunnel mat. That's one of the, instead of having stairs on one of them, there's a cool tunnel mat that goes up. Just to add a little bit more innovation, because these pieces are very similar to Shelton and not as exciting.
We think, well, as we as Chris and I were talking about, we have such innovative parks in West and Shelton.
This
is an innovative, really innovative park. So I think, and it's I think this park will still be a popular park 20 years from now. If we put netting or anything else, again, that it escalates the cost.
Yeah, so I think it's, we've said it over and over again, we can do everything. The flashier and the more exciting the pieces, the more of a markup you're going to pay on it. I think that's very easy to accomplish, but how that affects the bottom line is really what it comes down to at this point. Mm-hmm. So
Lisa, what's the next step? Will we find again with the design?
Yeah, so once we approve this design for pretty much this design and on budget, we can switch out before we go to bid, and as we go through the final design concepts, some of those other smaller pieces. But what you're saying is you like the concept of the swings, this whole thing, the zip lines, the layout of it. We can switch out this and this. Obviously, we still have to work out details of panels and colors and things like that. So,
can you treat them as alternatives?
What?
The play equipment?
Well, no.
Well, it depends. If it has a larger ball surface, then no. Because we can't ask ultimately to design a second playground inside of a playground.
Right.
So can we ask the prices that the manufacturer is quoting for the equipment? That's typically the price that they quote for the contractor. Unless they've had a contractor stiff them, what you see is what they pay. What the bid is the labor. It's, what the contractor thinks they can do in a certain amount of time. So could we say, yeah, we want to see the tri-spinner here instead of this piece as an alternate? How much would it be?
But I wouldn't
yes.
do that. But why do that? Because we know the price. So we need to make a decision. Do you want the tri-spinner for whatever I just said, $11,500, or do you want this one? You're not going to get a lower bid price. It's like he said, it's this stuff, it's this stuff, it's the sidewalk, those things go down, the price of equipment don't. So the more alternates you put on, as you know, the higher price goes too. So we want to just make a decision on these equipment. And we can come back and you guys can say, okay, we want this one instead of this one. We'll give you a couple choices for the same price, but not
have something as an alternate. Most contractors vary profitably. So, well, that's an $11,000 piece from the manufacturer, and he's saying we estimate 40% for insulation, so, $15,000, we're not going to see that as an alternate for $15,000. We're going to see 18, 22, 23,
So make a decision on those pieces.
I mean, they know what our budget is. It's been in the newspaper. It's public knowledge. They know how much money we have. There's a science to the fact that we want to get this out as early as possible before they have their work lined up. We want to be out to bid in February so we can get the best price for the season.
Landscape Structures gives no discount when you order for more than one playground?
Nothing. No. They're in the business to make money. But we're not ordering.
That seems crazy.
We're not ordering the equipment, the contractor is.
Right.
So because if we order the equipment and there's a problem with it, we're stuck with it. If the contractor orders the equipment, the liability is on them. If a piece of equipment gets delivered wrong, or it's chipped, or it's bent, the orchestra has no liability. I just say, I'm gonna pay for that. Good luck. So these contractors, like L&R Construction did 15 playgrounds last year. There's not as much flexibility in the prices as they don't really negotiate, especially with the high profile pieces. These are their staple pieces. Because they know we talk. If I pay $6,000 for something and Winnetka pays $20,000 for it,
what's gonna be the paper?
They're gonna say, how come Glenville got it for $6,000? What's going on?
So anyway, so that's what we're looking for approval tonight, is for like design. We go, you know, go forward. Do you just want us to bring a couple different items from here, or do you like the idea we suggested? We, from what we said in our research, we have the same other park district having that squeaky problem, so maybe it's a bad one. It's definitely for the 2 to 5 age, you know, it's not big. Big seesaw for older kids, for the little kids, it kind of gives them something to do as they transition to some of these other pieces.
And did you say that the regular seesaws we can't use anymore?
The big ones, no.
So anytime you see seesaws like we had when we were kids, they go up and down, sometimes there's like a tire underneath them. Any of those pivot points are crush locations, so those are actually against the law. So that when you see those seesaws and they're really lame and they only go like this, that's pretty much all that's out there in the United States. That meets the code. I mean, those old-fashioned seesaws, unfortunately, they just
are relevant. Lawyers.
Too many lawyers and, you know, different levels of responsibility.
Too many lawyers.
I mean, it's amazing when you see the list.
Yeah, it's a
fine.
It's a
fine.
I have one of my
own. You see the list of illegal playground equipment, and it's like the best stuff. You're like, oh, I love that. That is awesome. But, you know,
we are an obligation to protect the community.
But even the ones and that sell to that manufacturer, because they have like one that's a double, it's playground.
But it's a spring. It's not a pivot. It's not like the old fashioned.
So we can do a spring one and no spring.
But that's basically what the unit itself, they're all the same underneath. There's like four big coil springs in here, and the unit kind of just goes up and down on the spring. So the top may be different, but the guts are all the same. They're not super exciting. I mean, or compare it to the old-fashioned seesaws. I mean, all of these code requirements are typically the result of a major injury or a death. So some they have a requirement, and they say, well, we should have done better, and then we have to cover.
So if you don't think seesaws in general are exciting because we can't do it one old-fashioned way, then we'll take it out and do something else. But this is what don't get. May look a little different, may not be bucket seats, may just be two boards, but it's not going to be what you have in the backyard, because you can watch and protect your kids out there in the playground if you can. So we're building things when you don't believe they're supervision. So
the
residential standard is totally different. You would be liable if someone went to your backyard and then see someone got hurt, then you have that liability.
Okay, so the designers have been given the word for things.
And
then we will have
and our next meeting is we can bring a couple options for these if you'd like.
Right.
And then still would not stop us from going ahead with the which is the hard part now, which is designing and getting ready for it. We can add those to these.
Yeah, I'm trying to frame this into a motion, but it's still a little squishy here for me.
I said I would do it as that the looking for a motion to approve the concept designs for Love the Island Park, giving staff direction to look for alternate equipments for the, what would you call those? Two freestanding pieces. Yep, that's how I would motion it.
Our folks understand the motion?
Can they just look at it one more time to see if they could just add a few more components
that are like bolt-on components on this or freestanding components?
That's a bolt-on.
I think that we've talked about Those we would classify those in the play panel.
Yes.
So I think saying, hey, we want to take a critical look at some of these play panels, understanding that we're not interested in going over the budget, I think that's easy to understand.
Yes, without a doubt, yep. So we already said we're looking at the play panels within our budget, but we won't add, like, things that hang off the pieces of equipment in this one, because that would put us over budget even more.
And the rope tunnel instead of stairs, would that be?
That would be a way over budget.
That would,
yes.
Well, I think it
would be redesigning that portion of it.
We're at the point with our contract of all the new that we've kind of moved to the point of if we have to go back and take a third look at this, that's going to cost us money.
But yeah. Really, just instead of one of the stairs, you have the tunnel. Like, how is that redesigning it?
Because that tunnel may have to have a different height. You know, the stairs may be able to transition from 4 feet to 12 feet. Well, that tunnel only can transition 3.5 feet. There's a lot of science to it, and as crazy as it sounds, you know, there's just a lot to it, and they take a lot of time and effort that they put into this stuff. It's not just like a pick list in CAD.
Right.
So.
I know it's hard to visualize on a drawing all the play features on this, but this is a really innovative playground with a lot of different play features, and a lot of kids at all different ages and abilities will find hours of enjoyment on this. And it's always hard to see on these designs, but this would be good for a community park, which this one is, to attract a lot of different people and a lot of different abilities.
See, we didn't let them make the playground a ridiculous color. And what they usually do is they do all the boring pipes in brown and all the exciting pipes in like red or yellow. And you go to a community meeting and people go, ah! So we didn't let them make it exciting colors. We made it more muted. So that's why some of the pieces don't necessarily
pop out.
Like, there's a ladder from this platform up to there, but you can't tell that based on the picture.
There's a little rock wall there. There's
the rock climbing wall.
There's a fire pole.
There's a fire pole. It can be very deceiving until you look.
They had a whole list. I don't remember that thing.
You can absolutely look at the panels.
Oh, the panels, they already said they're looking at, yeah. They said at the last meeting that the panel development is not done.
So first of all, if we have to pay them a few thousand dollars more to do another design,
it's more than a few thousand.
It's probably more than 5. I don't know, what is it? But
10 or 15.
Yeah.
And it's.
I'm not clarifying that. I don't think what I'm trying to say. It's not the panel. It's like the thing we have at Astor that they spin around it. But it still comes off the main piece. It's not a specialized piece. It's not a special order. It's just a different functionality.
Sure. So I think, here, I'll show you like this here. So the challenge, so like this piece here. So this is a ground level element, and you can't access this from the playground.
Right.
Because you have to have a lip on the deck so a kid with a wheelchair can't roll off the deck. So this is a ground-based element. So any elements that you're going to be accessing from the playground, you're going to have to go, so like here, here's a good, so like see how this narrows to get out there? So this is like a play panel. This could either be this panel, which is a fireman's pole, or it could be a solid panel. The distances between these posts is standardized. So any panel could fit in here. We could have 5 fireman's poles in a row if we so desired. So anywhere that there's going to be a break, you're going to have this narrows, which prevents a mobility impaired participant from rolling off of the wheelchair. So you're not going to have a spinner, which is accessed directly from the deck, but you could have a ground-mounted element that would fall in the realm of looking at play.
Yes.
I mean, the boogie board at Astor, like the belt, that would be beyond play panels. That would be more of like an element. But, I mean, you know, these panels here are not outrageously expensive in the scheme of, you know, $500,000 project. So like this, like, that panel is not exciting. Like, a bunch of switches out there. That can easily be in here. Or cars that race from one end to the other. And those little elements make all the difference in it being exciting and being multi-use. But those panels all have the same part number and come out of the same catalog.
So this is drier again. Or someone thing I want a picture of, I don't have a picture of.
Do you want to look over her shoulder?
She's, no, not until she finds it.
I mean, we can ask them to make the panels more interesting within the budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's where we have to be at with the panels.
Yeah, they're not looking to go over the budget at all. It's just that, you know, again, only my opinion is that I'm so happy to see that we have breakout pieces. I know that everybody else sells regular spring swings we're not getting any kind of different swings, which is fine. I understand we'll get those at other parks, but, you know, I'll bring that up, and I'm not going to bring that up again. But I just still feel that that's, we're missing an opportunity just to get some of the more innovative things that I know. They're fast, they go out of style, but some of the things that are new are really good. And there's not a lot of that happening in this main piece, and we're spending a lot of that main piece. So that's just my two cents. And I don't think it would cost a lot just to switch out a few to have a little bit of different functionality. Like, I can't see with those yellow steppers, if those are steppers or pots.
Those are pots.
Those are pots.
So, like, they don't have, you know, like, the suspension where you're hanging out. Like, those are very popular now, but at least that's a little bit different. And again, like you said, it's hard to see everything that's happening in here because we're not seeing the actual equipment.
That
so,
is,
it's really
I think that's a significant problem.
Yeah.
Well, you, yeah. Not going to. I think those pods are meant for toddlers.
Yeah, those pods. The challenge is you see the pods and you see that the suspended cables might be three times the cost. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's hard because I'm in the position that I can't just say it costs more money, it costs more money, it costs more money. But that's the reality is all the new and exciting stuff costs more money. So I think we can look at the panels, and Lisa, I mean, we've got some really exciting play panels that we can look at. And it may not be, you know, a 40-foot tall climber with cables in between it, but I think that we can enhance the value of this equipment within the budget that we have. I think that that's a very reasonable ask for Altima New and Landscape Structures.
And they've already said they're going to do that, so, you know.
I sense that we hit our one area of agreement, and that is that we don't want to go over the $500,000. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm seeing nods.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
So we've got a cap. And
so I would just say, from a parent's point of view, if I brought my kids to this playground, the biggest problem I'd have would be I would be 2 hours waiting for them to finish playing. There's just so much in this.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I wouldn't be so worried about that. What I love is that you can start up the top and you work your way down. There's so much, and they're going to spend hours and hours on that. There's also like that zip line at the end. And then if they get tired, you can have that break in the middle. They can go over to the swings, they can go over to the green area. Like, I think there's quite a lot in that as a parent. I would almost be reluctant sometimes to take them there unless I have an hour or 2 hours to kill, because they're not going to want to leave that. So I think it's just important that that is a lot for a playground.
You're seeing the forest and we're seeing the trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the downside when you do this so much, you see the trees, not the forest.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm going to take my kids again to Dwyer and put them on this and film it and see if they like it.
Right.
And that and keep each other again. I'll take them this week, it's been a bit warmer.
Good job.
And like you said, we can easily present other ones. I like that other tri-spinner, but it's more.
I love that tri-spinner. Yeah. I really liked it at the convention.
Well,
I think we all.
Yeah, that's, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Again, it's a little over budget, but we could definitely put that where the witch's head, I agree, is it's not a lot for. So if you had to choose between the two, I'd go with the tri-spinner, but.
For sure. And it's such a prominent area there, and it's like you're giving a lot of real estate to that thing that doesn't really do anything. And I think that's a piece I could see anywhere, and it would be really cool, just like the zip line.
And that could be like, yeah, two splash items, like,
yeah.
Wow, no one else has that.
Yeah,
so that's
sure.
What my recommendation would be.
So Lisa, do the one with the tri-spinner and opt out the Weesaw and the witch's hat?
Or just swap, opt out the witch's hat and keep the Seesaw and go over budget?
You can do it.
If we could do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah. If it fits in the budget.
We're going to have to carry it as an alternate, because if we can't afford it, we'll take the whole project over budget and we'll have to pull it out.
We know how much it'll cost, so we just have to see how much it costs, ask Altima New how much that would cost in the budget, and then we'll look at all three of them combined to see if we're under budget.
Good.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have a motion to that effect?
Well, that's a heck of a motion.
Not yet.
I would say I make a motion to approve Woodlawn Concept C plan with the inclusion of the tri-spinner in replacement of the witch's hat. That's how it's called.
What budget?
Staying within budget.
And that includes, I don't know what you mean by, I guess my, so So I had a concern last time about the sidewalk, and I don't know what the resolution of that was.
Well, we did go back to Altamanu and ask them about the sidewalk. So they did exercise in narrowing it down to 3 feet, and it shaved off $494 off the budget. And you know, if you I know you're on the active transport. They're recommending 8 foot sidewalks for nowadays for comfort of people walking down so they can pass it. We believe that sidewalks should stay. You remove that, you save $2,900, and then you just eliminated access to the people along the Green Bay corridor. And as you know, there's a lot of apartment complexes, so there's a dense amount of people in that area, and you take away their entrance into that, and it almost makes it like a neighborhood park as opposed to a community park. So our recommendation is to leave it in.
My concern with this park, other than the budget overall, is that, I mean, the reason we do parks is true, it's for the kids, but it's for the entire community.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the entire community is going to drive by this thing almost daily, mm-hmm. just given where it is. So it's really important to me, Chris, that the grasses that I mentioned, that we have like oak savanna or native grasses there that form that barrier with the road and under those trees. With that in the plan, I'm good for it.
Okay.
If that's not in the plan, that's going to get value engineered out, I'm not good for it.
Well, I think what you said was that's not going to be part of the budget because we're going to do our own maintenance or not?
I indicated that we included the cost of the material in the budget with the intent of it to be executed in-house based on the complexity of it. Yeah, I think if we include it in the motion tonight, Lisa, that we can make sure it fits in there.
Well, I want to make it clear, it's not as much as they designed in there, right, Chris? The grass is, there's not...
It's easy to take a cursor and make all this turn around when you're doing it overhead. I mean, so I think that we're looking at it, you know, having some kind of a line here in this area, I don't see, you know, it getting all the way into the playground the first year, but I do see it as something we can expand on and have in this area. We can, the hard part is some of these trees don't necessarily do justice to what the actual conditions are. So, you know, Lisa, I mean, I think if it's really important, we can include it and include it.
My question was, how much grass is already included in the project budget?
I don't have the square.
Yeah, I think it was about, my guess was $10,000 is what I recall. Yeah. Of plantings.
Crazy.
Yeah. And that's the plant itself, and then our guys are planting it.
The last 5 years,
well, the labor's out of the park district, it's just material.
That's material.
Sure. Yeah, it can be expensive. Different seed mixes can be expensive.
Well, if you have a beautiful stand of oaks there that is immediately to the north of the zip line, and, including grasses and flowers in there would be delightful for everybody driving by, everybody mm-hmm. using.
Are we getting closer?
We need a motion.
So?
We got the splitter, we got the grasses.
You have to call for a vote.
So this, at this point, we do have the connection.
The connection?
Well, the sidewalk.
The sidewalk.
Oh, well, I don't think it should be there, but it's only going to save $500 to dig it out, so.
Okay.
I'm not going to throw the whole thing under the bus because of the sidewalk.
Because of the sidewalk. Okay. Okay. So we have the motion as proposed by our executive director.
Did you get that? Okay.
Anybody want to make it?
Make a motion to approve Woodland Woodlawn Concepts. Can you bring it down a little bit there?
Woodlawn
C plan, with the exception of replacing the witch's hat with the tri spinner and including grasses. I don't know how to define grasses, Chris.
See, that's the problem. We wouldn't have to do that because grass grows over time.
Well, right now I think $10,000.
I think he wants to make sure that it's not a 5x5 box.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can respect that. You know, I think that when you use a project like this, it's hard because this is not, this drawing is not to scale. So I can't just go up there with a ruler and say 10,000 square feet of open space.
Well, right now we have $10,000 in the budget, I know, for grasses. So I don't know if that's what I would say to, with inclusion in 10,000 in grasses.
Unless you want to say to include the area east of the playground to Green Bay Road from the sidewalk to the bus shelter?
Well, it depends how much that comes into the budget.
Yeah,
that's the problem. That put us over. So I just need to, a little more clarification. Because if it comes in that, oh, we could do that, but it's $30,000. Do we want to do that? So.
Some kind of performance criteria on it, or do you want to?
I recognize we're not asking. Trust me, we're not asking the landscape contractor who's building a playground to do grasses, right?
We are, yeah.
You sort of have to separate the overall budget for the park from the construction budget for the playground project, right? The gray stuff there.
Sure. I mean, Lisa. We could include it as part of our operating budget.
Like I said, right now the plan, I believe, is calling for $10,000 worth of grasses. So we could either say that's enough, or we want more grasses put in. Now that could be the playground budget. Part of it could come out of our operating plant budgets, and we would eliminate plantings from other areas. We could definitely do that.
The $10,000 worth of grass seed, which is blowing my mind, and in-house labor is not sufficient once it's really taken hold, we will then revisit it in our operating budget to fill it out.
Yes.
Okay.
Good idea. Doesn't go as far as you think.
I'm sure that's true.
You typically buy plugs, they're not just like a seed mix in a bag.
Right.
So it is a little bit more to it, but.
Right. Right. We're not expecting
that.
And if, even if it's not in this year's operating budget, because by the time it's grown, we can put it more in for next year, which is a great.
Expanded.
Yep. Yep.
When we have some more fixed costs, which they would absolutely see before it was approved.
Yep.
Okay. We have like over a couple of years, the plan is to fill in the this parcel as Oak Savannah, right? Maybe we start with $10,000 and do as much of, you do this part, and then to the extent that the team can do it in 1 year, great. To the extent that it takes 3 years to do it, but that should be the plan.
That's a great idea. So that we're approving tonight is the ability over 3 years to fill in grasses in that section. I think that's great.
That's the intent.
Yeah. I like that intent. So that's how.
Intent.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then each year we can see how it's taking, put more money in the budget.
That's a whole lot easier to maintain.
We'll work our way.
Oh, yeah, we like it. We like that idea. And we like the look of it, so
way
definitely.
In the street.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so we just need
a motion. A motion.
Again? There was one on the table, so we need another one.
So the $10,000 in grasses is already included, so we don't have to specify.
Right. Just with the tent, maybe so the intent to have grass is planted in the, what area is that, Chris, would you say?
Eastern
portion of the thing within 3 years.
From the Oak Savannah to Green Bay Road in that 3 year plan.
With the 3 year plan. That's perfect.
I love it.
Did you get that, Jenny? Nope. Say it again. A motion to approve Woodlawn Concept.
A motion to approve Woodlawn Concept seed plan with the potential replacement of the thing in the very middle.
Which is that? Good job. With the tri-spinner.
With the tri-spinner. And including $10,000 of grass material for the area next to Green Bay Road. And with the intention for the park district to expand that over the entire Oak Savannah area to Green Bay Road over 3 years.
Perfect.
Okay. I could probably make that shorter if I had that.
That's fine. Okay, so, Shalonin, you need a second?
Okay, second.
Second.
Okay, we have a second.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay.
Good discussion.
Okay.
All right.
Now there's no public for matters from the public.
Nope.
Other business?
Nothing for me. We have no need to go into executive session.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay.
Okay, all in favor? We can do this by voice vote.
Yes, you can.
Okay, sure. We got it.
All right, thank you.